In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. A religious leader asked Jesus, "Which is the greatest commandment?" And although we're told that the question was asked in order to test Jesus, in fact, the question is typical of rabbinical dialogue concerning the Mosaic Law. Jesus and that man shared a common heritage, religion, and scripture. As a means of avoiding offense against any one of the original Ten Commandments, the rabbis had built a fence around the Torah, consisting of 613 commandments, 365 prohibitions, and 248 positive precepts. These were then distinguished as to heavy or light, great or small, according to the difficulty or the ease of fulfilling them. According to Matthew, Jesus was asked to name the great commandment in the law. Jesus' response contained not one but two commands, as well as two statements about their relationship. The significance of Jesus' answer lies not in the novelty of the combination of these two passages. Their combination is found in earlier Jewish literature. Unique to Jesus' teaching is that the love of neighbor is made similar or equal in heaviness to the love of God. It gives our love of God a human benchmark beyond scrupulous obedience to an impersonal law. The stress is on love, not on obedience. The human object of love is the neighbor, not just the persons in one's own racial group or family or social circle. But in the teaching of Jesus, it includes the alien, the enemy, and the prisoner as well. For Jesus, love for God coupled with love for the neighbor constitutes the most important benchmark of all. Everything else depends on it. Our church long ago recognized the importance of our Lord's summary of the law by making it a part of the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. In the current Book of Common Prayer, it's an ordinary part of Rite 1 and an optional element in Rite 2. And we exercised that option at the beginning of the service today. Corrie Ten Boom described a tall African man who lived in a round grass hut with his large family as one who loved the Lord and loved people, an unbeatable combination. And that truly is an unbeatable combination, especially when you see the meaning of this kind of love as expressed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the unconditional, other-oriented, selfless love which is devoted to seeking to meet the needs of others as much as it is concerned with meeting one's own needs. It is the essence of what motivated God in the act of creation. It is the impulse behind God's liberation of the Israelites from slavery and their deliverance from captivity in Babylon. It is the life force behind the words God put into the mouths of the prophets who called God's wayward people back into a vital relationship with God and warned them against unloving acts of oppression, injustice, and neglect of the more vulnerable among them. This divine love, by which and for which the universe was created, took on flesh and blood in the person of Jesus the Messiah. He is the visible expression of the invisible God, whose nature and whose name is love. Loving God is expressed when we engage in private devotions, but it doesn't end there. God is most fully loved when we love those around us whom God has created in God's own image. The deep wisdom of this life-giving principle was driven home to me in a powerful way a few years ago when Gay and I were hiking in the Rocky Mountains. We'd hiked up about 6 miles to a little lake above tree line in the Never Summer mountain range. And we got out our blanket and spread it on the ground and got out our picnic supplies, and we're getting ready to have our picnic. And I was sitting there just admiring God's handiwork. I saw the beautiful blue sky with just enough clouds in it to make it interesting, and the snow-capped peaks, and this beautiful lake that was so clear and so still that it looked like a mirror, and a hawk was soaring over it. And as I was sitting there just looking at all this grandeur, and I was feeling so close to the Creator. And as my eyes surveyed the landscape, they finally came to rest on the face of my wife. And it was at that moment that I realized in an entirely new way that we are never closer to the Creator than when we are face to face with another human being created in the image of God. It's the way that we see God face to face. And so I believe that's why God not only wants us to worship in private, but also calls us to come together as ecclesia, the assembly of God's people, the church. And our worship of God is incomplete, and our love of God is half-hearted if it is not fleshed out, lived out in relation with others. And churches, like individuals, are healthiest when they're more concerned with the needs of others than with their own internal affairs. As God's priestly people, we are the normal means whereby God's arms embrace all people. The church is a kind of crucible in which we learn to love others. Frankly, we can't be healthy persons if we don't learn to love others. Thomas P. Malone once observed that most emotional problems can be summed up in the kind of behavior where a person walks around screaming, "For God's sake, somebody love me." And he goes on to say, on the other hand, healthy people are those who walk around looking for someone to love. And if you see changes in the people who were screaming, love me," it's when they realize that if they give up this screaming and go to the other business of loving another human, they can get the love they've been screaming for all their lives. It's hard to learn, but you've got to learn it. How tragic it is when it can be said of us, as Scobie's wife said of him in Graham Greene's The Heart of the Matter. It is certain that he loved God, but it is also certain that he loved no one else. So love divine not only concerns our relationship with God, but also has to be incarnated, fleshed out in our relationships with those around us. And not just our own kind either, but also our enemies, the alien, the prisoner, and those in all kinds of distress. As St. John put it, if one says he loves God but hates his neighbor, that person is a liar. For you cannot love God whom you cannot see and hate your neighbor whom you can see. Oh, to be sure, it is not easy to feel love toward some people. But this kind of love does not depend upon a feeling. It runs much deeper than human emotion. It's a love that is bound up in a covenant. And thus it seeks to do what is right in relation to others, whether we feel like it or not. If God's love for us relied on a feeling alone, God would have abandoned us long ago for our wicked behavior. But God's love for us, the same love God calls us to give to others, is more profound and mysterious than human emotion or human justice. If we're to learn to love our neighbors, we have to return to this benchmark again and again and again, for without it, we can do nothing. And loving God is more than fulfilling a duty. It is enjoying God's joy and delight in what God has created. It is allowing oneself to be touched and transformed in heart, soul, and mind to love other persons as the divine lover has loved us. It is incarnated when we give to others what has been given so generously to us. It is the foundation for our stewardship of all that God entrusted into our care. It is the benchmark that reminds us to work, pray, and give for the spread of the kingdom of God. In Victor Hugo's novel, Les Miserables, we see how the love of a compassionate bishop transformed the life of Jean Valjean. In the final scene in the musical based on Hugo's work, Jean Valjean lies on his bed dying. And he has a vision of the young mother, Fantine, who before her death, years before, asked him to raise her daughter, Cosette. And he sings these words, "Take my hand and lead me to salvation. Take my love, for love is everlasting. And remember the words that once were spoken, to love another person is to see the face of God." Love for God and love for the neighbor truly is an unbeatable combination. The essence of how God created life to be lived. Like a door hangs from its hinges, so all of Scripture hangs from these two commandments, summed up by Jesus: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It truly is an unbeatable combination. Amen.